Hey, you guys, it's your girl L'Oreal.
And it's your girl Drea.
And you're listening to
Lux Lifestyle.
And we are here with the last episode of the season.
Uh-oh.
Can y'all believe it? We have gone through the entire season one and we've had a lot of fun. We're excited. Today is New Year's Day. Right. It is January the 1st. It is 2020, you guys. We are in the new decade. How are you feeling? Like, what's your emoji for the decade? For a new decade, what's your emoji?
You know that emoji with the little whistle thing outside and it's like Happy New Year, that one, but at the same time, like, oh my gosh, 1990 was 30 years ago officially this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm 4 years away from 30. Like, I'm just thinking, like, oh my gosh. On top of that, is like, now that I think about it, you've got the, where I said, like, kids, jobs, career, like, we in the cusp.
Yes, I think, seriously.
We're in the cusp.
This year, like, I've seen so many people my our age get engaged, have children, have families. One of our classmates, I don't think you actually went to school with him, but he went to Lamarck with me.
Mm-hmm.
He just got a new home with his wife. Like, I just, oh my God, there have just been so many great things happening. But then it's so scary because it's like, oh my God, we're like really grown now.
Right.
So we really do need to start thinking about, okay, when's the right time to have kids? When's the right time to get married?
Right.
When's this? And I'm just, Lord, I'm not there yet.
I'm overwhelmed.
It's a lot, but it's cool. We it's a learning experience and all we can do is just keep going and growing. I know for me, my emoji would probably be the present because my birthday is in 25 days. 25 days, 26 on the 26th, you guys. My birthday is January the 26th and I'm super excited.
Uh-oh.
Because I can finally do that 26 on the 26th thing,
right,
that everybody does and I think it's so cute.
I know I can't do
I've
it.
I've always wanted to do a murder mystery party.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to make it like my very own murder mystery party. When I was in college, I did this play with this guy, Dominique Smith.
Okay.
And I really want him to write the murder mystery party for us and make it like a new era, like 2020 type vibe.
Okay.
Like, it'll be really, really cool. But that's not going to happen on 26 because I want too much. So I said, in 4 years. On my 30th birthday, I want that to be my murder mystery theme.
Okay.
So I'm working up these next couple years to get that ready. So I'm just excited about the new year. I've learned a lot these last couple years, especially, like I always say, you guys know I have my nerve disease. I feel like that has brought a whole other side of life to me.
Yeah.
And understanding and maturity and just empathy and sympathy for others as well as myself. So I'm excited. I'm ready to tell the world about CRPS. I'm ready to make this year and years further. I want to be an advocate and I want people to know this is what's going on. You need to know, and I want you to get out there, and I want to make as many events as possible, even through the pain. But I'm just excited. It's 2020.
Yeah, that's why, like, my goal, well, not even my goal, I just feel like this year, well, 2019 just taught me that I have to persevere and have patience.
Yes.
I thought I had patience, but when it comes to like you know, this job struggle that I'm going through, I'm just like trying to figure out what will make my heart say, hey, this is the job for you.
Passion.
Everyone's always asking, like, what do you want to do? I'm like, honestly, I know I've always been in TV since I was a kid. I know Access Hollywood, E! News, that was my thing,
all
but it's
that.
Like, how do I get there? So I'm still trying to figure out what to do. Should I take the risk this year? Should I wait? Like, I'm just trying to navigate what, like, honing on my own talent. Like, what makes me special? What makes me unique?
Yeah.
So that's a self-discovery thing this year I'm going to definitely work on hard and intensely.
That's really true, because I've always known, like you said, that I've always wanted to do radio and TV.
Yeah.
I'm in the position right now where I don't really want to work for anyone.
Yeah.
I really want to make my dreams come true through me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if there was a way that this podcast could really take off.
Right.
And we
like
could make
South
it.
Show?
Like, seriously, we can.
Hashtag.
This would be amazing.
Yeah.
To make this go and be something that we could do full time.
Right.
Because I enjoy it so much that I don't even, when I'm at work, I'm thinking about stuff to do for the podcast.
Same.
So it's like, we're gonna make this podcast go somewhere. For real. We're gonna do what we have to do. We're gonna make, look, y'all are gonna love us,
right?
And
we're gonna keep doing it.
We're gonna keep doing it until you, I don't even care if you get tired. We're gonna do it after you tired. So
be like the Simpsons, 30 seasons in,
and you're gonna still be here with us listening. We hope so, and we hope that you bring more people with you.
Definitely.
And we're just gonna roll right into it. We don't have the typical show. We're just going to give you a little wrap-up of what happened through the decade.
Definitely.
And we're going to talk about some crazy things because it took us a while to even get this list together. We did a show before we recorded this one, and we were like, okay, we missed a lot of stuff. Yeah. So we decided to come back to y'all, fresh new episode with everything that we could think of that happened from, 2009?
Oh, late 09, 10 till now.
To 2020. So if you're ready, let's get right into it, girl.
Man, so the year of reboot. So let's start The Lion King.
Yes.
With Beyonce, Childish Gambino. Who else is in there?
Lots of people.
Lots of people.
James Earl Jones, the original. Simba.
Mufasa.
Original Mufasa, which was really, really cool. I'm not going to lie. I thought he had died because I had not heard from him.
He's still cashing in checks.
Oh, yeah. But I just had not heard from him in such a long time.
Yeah.
And then when they started bringing back the movie again, they were saying, oh, James Earl Jones is going to do it. I was like, oh, yeah, because that's the only voice for Mufasa. Like, nobody else could do that.
Like, he has the right cadence. It just fits.
It's him. And now the only other person that I could possibly think that could do it is the State Farm man. The one that was also in Loving Basketball, the dad.
The dad. Okay.
You know, he has that deep kind of voice.
Him or from Princess and the Frog. Well, he's in Greenleaf. He's the pastor of the family.
Keith
David.
They have those deep voices, those distinct voices that you know. So it was really cool for them to do a reboot of Lion King.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie's
I'm
Angels.
Gonna let you say how you feel. Did you actually like Lion King?
I really didn't get to see it. What happened was I was supposed to, but then I was like, ah, dang, and it just never crossed my mind to go back to go see it.
Yeah,
but like, how did you feel about it?
Okay, so I watched the first 15 minutes and I probably fell asleep.
No,
only because, you know, it wasn't a bad movie. Mm. Of course it was gonna be the exact same. They just made it with
live action
CGI. More realistic looking animals, and I think that's what took the fun away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an animated movie, it was fun. You were able to see the animals react and enjoy themselves and do things, but this was an actual animal, so he couldn't react the same way that the animated one could. So like, you didn't get the fun songs and dancing. Like, it wasn't the same. So it wasn't bad.
I think because Beyonce then was more like hyped up.
That's why,
like,
it was so much more exciting. And then it was just a black cast.
Yeah.
So that was the main thing. It was a black cast, so everybody was excited about that. And thinking about the black cast, which we didn't even put on the list, Black Panther.
Oh, I had to go see that when it came out.
We didn't even put Black Panther on the list, but Black Panther was a major milestone through this decade. Everybody had to come out in their dashikis and everything like that. And I was like, well, wait, babe, I don't think that's the same Black Panther. But I don't think that's the same Black Panther vibes that they was giving, right? Because
I think they're trying to go with the African theme, but I was okay. Black Panther, that's just the movie.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Marvel. Superhero movie. So, like, I didn't think it was, but hey, I wore my dashiki. I'm just talking.
He just wanted to feel connected to Africa. Wakanda. Yeah. I was
Wakanda
okay.
forever.
Wakanda forever. So that was one.
Yeah.
But I love that movie because it was just like seeing all black cast.
Yeah.
Superhero movie.
We never see this. We never ever see this. So that was one thing that the decade brought, is that we were able to see ourselves so much more.
Yeah.
Especially these last couple years. They had so many black cast just options of movies that we could see, and we really hadn't had that since like the 90s when we had like the TV shows like Living Single, Moesha, Parkers, like things like that, because we don't necessarily have a lot of those TV shows and movies right now. So it was really, really good to see all of that.
And then because I think Marvel also has a character called Spawn, but at the time when they released that movie, it was like 90s, so it wasn't like really hyped the way it should have been. So I think Black Panther kind of took that cuss for us.
Gotcha.
Because now to this day, I still watch Spawn and Black Panther, like, oh, we got two black superheroes.
You know what's crazy? I've never even liked, like, not that I don't like Marvel, but I'm just...
I love Marvel over DC. I'm sorry for any DC fans out there. y'all okay.
But it's not one of those. I've never just been into it. Now, I'll watch it. Like, yeah. My little cousin, Mikey, he watched that little stuff. So, like, when he was growing up, I'll probably catch it and be like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But I never, like, liked it myself.
Yeah, my little brother made me like the Hulk. So, I just got into the Hulk the most. Yeah. And so, I was just like, okay, Marvel, y'all got more than DC. So, yeah. That's how I got into it, my little brother. So, shout out to my little brother out there. But another good reboot, you said All in the Family, The Jeffersons.
All in the Family, The Jeffersons, which was really cool. These were shows from like the 70s and 80s. So it was really, really cool that they brought those back, especially because I believe it was like 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the original writer of the shows, which is...
He's still alive.
The All in the Family and The Jeffersons, because they were spinoffs of each other. Mm-hmm. They had him come in. He sat there, and he just said, okay, so this is what it was about, and we brought it back, and we wanted to use these special people. Jamie Foxx was in it.
Okay.
Who else? It was so many people. The girl from on Netflix, Kimmy Schmidt.
I feel like I've heard that name.
It was Kimmy Schmidt, Unbreakable. It was just a star-studded cast. It was amazing. They also did a reboot recently, maybe about a week ago, to Good Times.
Okay.
And it was a big controversy because everybody was upset because they really wanted Portia Williams from Real Housewives of Atlanta to play Thelma.
I could see that.
Because they look exactly alike.
I could see that.
But I believe at the time of the taping, she was pregnant, yeah. So it didn't work out. But they ended up actually using Jamie Foxx's daughter, Corinne, and she was Thelma.
She could have been Penny. She was Penny to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think, and then in that particular episode that they chose, they didn't have Penny or anything like that. Oh, okay. James was still alive. It was things like that. So, and they actually brought the original James back on the show.
The Good Times.
Yes, they brought him back.
I love him.
They brought him back. He was on the episode. And that particular episode, I love the Jeffersons. Uh-huh. Like, I still watch it with my mom sometimes on TV One.
Oh, yeah, Bounce.
Yeah, Bounce, girl. Bounce we watch Network. Bounce all the time. So, the particular episode that they chose was a political episode. And they did that because of the times that we're in right now. Yep. They thought it was a great episode to have. But... even back then, the episode was lame and kind of boring.
Aww.
And it was brought back now, and it was still lame and very boring. So,
dang.
Yeah, I wish they would have chosen another episode, but I get it. Yeah. I get that what they were trying to bring across, and they wanted people to know, but it didn't work. Sometimes, and I'm not going to say that it shouldn't have been rebooted, but they should have picked something else. But sometimes, just leave things as they are.
Keep the originals.
I loved it. Like, even, like, what did we say? Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. The new Charlie's Angels, it was cool.
I heard it was trash.
It was cool. That's all I can say. It was cool. But I really enjoyed Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, yes. And Cameron Diaz. Like, they had two full movies of those Charlie's Angels, and those are the ones that I need.
Yeah,
like,
Cameron retired from acting. I said, I didn't even know that.
Are you serious? Uh-huh. When?
This is 2020, about 10 years ago, she retired. And I was like, where's Cameron Diaz? I just happened to look at him, and they said she retired. She's doing, like, home stuff now. And I'm just
but
like...
But she was just in that movie with Justin Timberlake after they broke up. Bad Teacher.
What year was that?
Like... Was that 2 years ago? Was that
09? Probably. That's the last time I've seen her in a movie. I was just like, where's Cameron Diaz?
And then she was in another movie, Sex Tape. But that was like 2011.
Yeah, she retired. She
maybe
at 2012, the game.
Wow.
Yep. I'm sick. I was like, she was so pretty. I saw her in The Mask when I was a kid. I said, she is gorgeous.
I've always loved Cameron Diaz. And I thought it was really cool when she did do Bad Teacher, since we're talking about it. Because her and Justin Timberlake had just broken up. You remember they were dating?
I didn't know that.
Yes, her and Justin Timberlake were dating. Like, I believe after him and Britney, it was kind of slow. And then him and Cameron were like a big couple.
Oh, it had to be before Jessica Biel then, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Right before Jessica Biel.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, she was the last. I think she was the last relationship he had before Jessica Biel.
Wow.
And they were in the movie together. They were kissing. They had to play with, like, boyfriend and girlfriend. So I know that was super awkward to be, like, with your ex. And doing that, but they did it, and the movie was good.
Right,
so.
It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Angelina and Brad. That's what made him fall in love with her. That's when they started dating. I said,
that was horrible to me with the Jennifer Aniston thing.
Oh yeah, how did it all happen?
And then the crazy thing is now they're not even together anymore.
Yep, I was like,
and I think he's trying to get back with Jennifer Aniston. And my thing is, you have been with this woman. You left me while we were we were engaged.
Yes.
You left me for, what, 10 years to be with this woman, have all these kids, and then you want to come back to me after y'all did?
Nah. I'd be like, you see where Brad at? Brad, you stay where you at. That's what Jennifer should say.
Boy, bye. No, sir.
Yo, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But then another thing coming back is The Game. They're going to reboot
that. Oh, okay. So, The Game was, baby, on Friday nights,
man,
if I wasn't at a football game at school, I was watching The Game on UPN.
Yo.
And then I was super sad when they canceled it, and then they brought it back to BET.
Yep.
But the only thing is, when they brought it back to BET,
lost its quality.
Well, not necessarily, but they decided to take off Pooch and Tia Mowry, and that's when they brought in Lauren London and what's his name? The guy, he's Insecure.
I know you're talking about
the boyfriend of Insecure, Jay Ellis. They brought those two. They switched them out.
What?
So now this one is supposed to. I don't know if they're gonna have the entire cast.
Uh-huh.
They said that the whole class was excited, so they probably will be. But this time it'll be set in, I believe, Fort Lauderdale or somewhere like that, because it wasn't San Diego.
Yeah.
But now they're moving somewhere else, and they're gonna be teaching the players, so they're gonna be coaches and helping them to get better, and mentors and things of that nature. So that's gonna be The Game, and we'll see how that is, because it is kind of hard to think of how you would change that
whole narrative.
2020,
yeah,
because they went through, they all got married,
they
had their children, they did the different things. So bringing it back and trying to mess up that married life is just too much to me.
Yeah.
I don't want them to taint the goodness that we got out of the final episodes. Like, we were really excited to see Tia and Pooch together.
Yep.
They had their twins. They were married. They were excited.
Yeah.
Because before that, they were fighting. She was cheating. He was cheating. I mean, it was just something.
So I got so angry. I'm like, what y'all gonna do now?
Yes. German. So it was really, really good to see them in that way. So I just really don't want them to change that. So as long as they can bring the show back and give it some umph without tainting the old characters, I'm here for it.
That's cool. And then, you know, to wrap up the reboots, they had another Jumanji, Independence Day 2.
Yes.
Man in Black. Oh, but Coming to America Part 2 and Bad Boys 3.
I cannot wait.
I'm ready.
I've always loved Coming to America.
I'm ready.
When I was little, I always said I wanted my wedding to be like the Coming to America wedding, because she had all those flowers and I want it.
Same. I was like, she's your queen to be. I wanted to be when I walked.
I'm ready.
Say, that's still a goal, though. Just in case my future husband's listening right now, just know, babe, practice makes perfect.
Okay. Let's get this money up. And since we're talking about money, let's get into the year of entrepreneurship.
Ooh.
This year, from 2016... is when I believe that it really, really started, or when my mind got to see how much it started, because we were in college most of that time.
Yeah.
So 2016, I believe, is the year when social media management, social media influencers became a big thing. So that's when we started to see the B. Simones, the Knick Knack and Patty West, the Dan Rues, the who else?
Zoes.
The Zoes.
DC Young Fly.
DC Young Fly. Like, that's when he started popping.
Yeah.
Like, his career has really grown in the last 3 to 4 years.
I love it.
B. Simone, she has her own beauty line. DC Young Fly was just here about a month ago singing. Like, he's doing R&B.
Okay.
So it's really cool that we're able to see people use social media for so many aspects of their life. You can make money, you can show your career, you can show your talents, you can do what you want to do with social media. And that was really crazy, because back in the day when we started it, it was more so for just talking amongst yourselves in your
groups.
Little friend group. That's when we had the top fives on MySpace. Like, girl, who you got on your top five this week?
Oh, yeah, I got into my friends. I'm like, why am I number two?
Yes.
I'm like, I should be number one.
You number one.
I was offended. Like, my best friend made me number two for my cousin. I said, what did she do for you that I couldn't do? And I'm mad. Like, I was
I'm
number
your
two.
Friend. I'm your friend.
I'm like, you call me when you upset. You don't call her. And so she eventually switched it back. So I was like,
yes. Okay. So it's really crazy to see how much social media has grown from little bits of you just talking to your county friends or your area friends to
like
international. Like, we've been able to use social media so much to where we're able to see, we understand triggers better. We understand what, that other people have actually gone through the same things that we've gone through.
True.
We've been able to see that some of the things that we thought were okay in our life aren't actually okay.
Yeah.
And we can have that moment with people. That's where the Me Too movement was able to get bigger. We were able to see celebrities for who they actually are,
which I love.
Yeah.
Before
we just saw the celebrity on the TV show and we just only imagined, or magazines, and we just saw what the paparazzi said or what we thought.
Yeah.
Now, social media, you can really live through these people as well.
Oh,
They're showing their homes. They're showing their friends, their family. They're letting you know, okay, well, this is who I really am.
Yeah. And it makes me really wonder, like, as far as, like, entrepreneurship and social media, like, I feel like Instagram is the real reason why everybody's popping. Because Instagram, to me, is, like, the entrepreneur, like,
it is.
Tool to, like, if you want to be somewhere.
Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook is more of, like, a product service,
yeah.
I can say. Instagram is more, this is me, I'm selling myself.
Perfect. That's the way to put it.
Yeah. When you're on Instagram, you can say, well, I have this lip gloss, or I have these lashes, or I'm selling this hair, or I'm selling this, and you can go. And people are seeing it, and you can... Man, Facebook bought Instagram.
Oh.
And that's how you're able... So if you have a business page on Instagram, you have to have a business page on Facebook.
That makes sense.
So it makes you go... I mean, it's really... They've really expanded through these years. Facebook started in what? 2008?
Yeah, because at that time it was only for Harvard students. You had to be in college to use. Well, actually, you had to be in Harvard, then it changed to be, you had to be a college student, then you had to be 18.
Yeah.
And after that...
So it's like... Just think about, through the years, all the things that we've gone through, the different social networks, the Vines.
Yep.
Remember, Vine was super
big. Yeah.
Mogul
Space.
That's how Tokyo Vanity became a big star, was from Vine. That's what my best friend, go best friend, best friend.
Dang.
My best friend, go sell best friend.
I forgot about
that. She started there, and now she's on Love & Hip Hop. So it's really cool to see. It's so many stars, actually, or influencers, that literally started on Instagram and now are in major movies and TV shows. Just hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Started as an Instagram comedian.
Yep.
And then she was on Rel.
Yeah.
The Rel show. On
Wild and Out.
Oh. Nick Cannon. We can talk about Nick Cannon.
Yes.
Nick Cannon went from...
He was adorable on all that. I loved him.
Yeah, I always did, but he was always kind of lame.
Aww.
I mean, he was low. It was only low key.
It was low key lame.
But I still like Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
He was just low key lame. And at first, people thought that he didn't have any money and he was just getting stuff from Mariah. That's when him and Mariah got together. They had their twins.
Man.
And then that's when they did The Real Husbands of Hollywood. Remember, that's when Kevin Hart's show. And in that show, he really showed that he really had businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cannon, he bought the Noggin Network. I don't know if you ever watched Noggin.
Mm-mm.
Noggin is where Drake actually got his start on Degrassi. Started on Noggin. He took over Noggin, named it... The Inn, and then that was his network. So he got the Inn. He has incredible realty.
Yep.
So he does the real estate. He has Wild and Out.
Yep.
He has movies. He has management.
But I found out Nickelodeon is technically kind of in a weird way shaped after him.
It is.
And I was like,
well, Noggin is a part of Nickelodeon. And
yeah.
He owns parts of Teen Nick and everything.
That's live.
Nick Cannon has really made a name for himself through these years.
That is so
to just go from a Nickelodeon comedian to owning a portion of Nickelodeon.
What you started in, that's how you
dope.
Do it.
That's how you do it.
That's the circle of life, y'all. When you start, wherever you start and you end up owning it, circle of life. That's
I've
right
always
there.
Said a part of me, I worked at Walgreens for 4 years as a cashier. Didn't really care for it.
Yeah.
But I also love my job at the same time because I was able to interact with the community. I was able to know who I needed to know.
Yeah.
And just, you can network. Every time you have an opportunity to network, you use it. And I would.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always said that some kind of way I wanted to come back when I had some money. I wanted to get some stocks in Walgreens or something, because I took too much time and made too much money there not to have something into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So
that's
dope. I really love how Nick Cannon did that whole wide world. Now, while we talk about Nick Cannon, let's talk about him and Eminem.
Oh, the diss.
The diss.
Okay, so what I realized.
The invitation is what it was
Mariah's called. Mariah Carey's Obsessed was about him. Which mm-hmm. I was like, okay, about Eminem. I didn't know they dated for a little bit. Did not know.
So prior to Obsessed, he had, I think they may have dated for like a second.
Yeah.
He had wrote a rap and he had mentioned her in it. So that's when she did the whole Obsessed with Me. And then she did the video with the person who looked just like Eminem
and
in
then
the video.
She put it on the hottest album she had in like the net, like her comeback album. So it really blew up.
MC, what is it?
Emancipation of Mimi.
But it was E equals MC squared.
Yes.
E equals the Deluxe MC edition. Squared. Oh my God. I remember, side note. I remember I had that CD. My mama bought it for me for Christmas.
Oh, I had both.
Look, my mama bought me the CD and she bought me a CD player. And I was in the seventh grade. I remember this girl. I was so, like, I was listening to the Emancipation of Mimi every single day. So I was sitting in my class and we was doing work. And I had it on and I had it turned up kind of loud, whatever. But yeah. It didn't bother me. The teacher got mad and she took my CD player. So I'm like, okay. How am I going to keep listening to Emancipation of Mimi if she got my CD player? I was like, can I take it? No, I don't want to get in trouble anymore than I already am. Like, I just kept trying to figure it out. So, long story short, we get to the end of the year. She gives me the CD player back, but no CD was in there. You stole my Emancipation of Mimi CD.
Because that album, if I had it today.
It was the bomb. I still go on YouTube and listen to that album. Like, Mariah Carey did.
She did the damn thing on that.
That was
as
that
the country,
was her.
1 second. Because it was the gold version. It was a gold CD. And it had the one that had a silver dress. And I had both of them. Because I was like, if you can't give me the Emancipation CD, can you give me that? And they're like, yeah. Got both of them. And I was like. And Don't Forget About Us, that's my song.
Girl, mine was.
And Shake It Off. I know that one. Mom's, I gotta shake you off.
Yes, girl.
Because love it ain't this. I was so, like, yes.
Recently, Eminem, I guess he did a rap on a particular song. And he made a, I guess a little thing about Mariah Carey. Nick Cannon wasn't feeling it. So that's when Nick Cannon decided to say, all right, here's the invitation. He did his first little freestyle. Or he did a tape about him. A diss track.
Okay.
That's what it was. Sorry. Diss track. So he did the diss track. Eminem didn't say anything. Everybody all through social media was like, hey, I understand, but you're tripping because Eminem gonna get you lyrically. He's gonna kill you. Stop it.
Yeah.
So Eminem still didn't say anything. And then about a week later, Nick Cannon came back with a song that he found through Suge Knight. He actually had Suge Knight come on the song, like the prequel of the song, to say, hey, I heard you was beefing with Nick Cannon. With my G, Nick Cannon, I had to be here. Eminem, we don't chew and da da da. Like, it got real. So this song that they found, that I guess he got it from Dr. Dre. Yeah. So he got this song.
Wait, that Nick Cannon got that from
Nick
Dr. Dre?
Nick Cannon got a song from Dr. Dre.
But Eminem and Dr. Dre like this, quote unquote.
Okay. So this is what my understanding is. Allegedly, he got a song that hadn't been released yet from Dr. Dre. And the song said, Black women are bitches and black women are dumb. So in the song, on the invitation, this is what the chorus is of him saying that, of Eminem saying that, and then Nick Cannon raps about it. He said, "You said what? Black women are bitches. Black women are dumb."
Actually, that's not the first time Eminem has said something like that. It's a song called it kind of like sounds like Overnight Celebrity by Twista, but it's Eminem's actual verse from a long time ago.
Okay.
And he said, Black B, something, white girl. It was something like he was comparing. And if I find that song, y'all, I'm going to find it. I'm going to send it to you. I'm like, but that's the song he talked about black women then. And this like back in the like early 2000s. So.
And that's what this was, the old song he had done. So.
It might have been that one. This ain't the first time I didn't hear him say something.
Yeah, so everybody's in the moment of, okay, so it's cancel culture.
Yeah.
Are we going to cancel Nick Cannon? I'm sorry, not Nick Cannon. Eminem for this particular situation?
I would.
I think so, too.
Because to be honest, it's not just because he disrespects. I'm like, he is good in
but
the rap game.
But he hasn't been in a rap game in a very long time.
Yeah.
So at this point, it doesn't even matter. Even
Marshall.
If he were to come... yeah. Even if he were to come back and say something,
yeah,
I don't even think it would matter at this point. Yeah. Because, like, we don't even care. We couldn't care less about what you have to say at this point because we're dumb and we're bees. Right. So, right? Remember?
Like, anyways, so enough of him.
Moving on.
But to the next beefs that happened in this decade. Now, all right. So I don't know if we want to start with the guys or the girls. Who you want to go with first?
Oh, let's do the guys because the girls are a lot.
So the guys, y'all remember back in the day when Chris Brown and Drake.
Oh, my God. Chris Brown and Drake were horrible. It was so stupid over Rihanna. They would do the most. Do you remember that award show where Drake basically kissed Rihanna? Like, he handed her the thing and he was like, Rihanna's like the best person in the world.
Yes. And she's like, boy. She's like, what bye.
Like, she didn't even care. Like, it was whatever. Oh, whatever. You're just... Okay, I hear you.
Man, so that was, like, what? I want to say 2010, 2011?
Maybe, yeah.
And, like, they came back this year with the No Guidance. And I was just like...
I thought that was super dope. I love the fact that grown men are becoming grown men. It's like, nobody has time for the childish foolishness anymore at this point.
Thank you.
And that's how I feel just in my life.
Yeah.
I don't have time to be beefing, fighting. I have too much energy that I have to do within myself with dealing with this nerve disease, dealing with life, dealing with me. Yeah. I don't have time to be beefing with anybody else. I don't want to. So I'm guessing that's the feeling that they had.
Yeah.
Like, we're grown. We're past that. Let's do that. We're moguls. We have money. Like, we're doing
that's this. That's like Snoop and Diddy still beefing. Like, that was when we was kids. Like, why?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter at this point.
Yeah, like, grow up. So with that, when Drake and Chris Brown came together, Drake and Meek, that shocked me this year, too. I was like, wow.
And, well, actually, since you're talking about Meek, did you watch the interview that he did with Charlamagne?
Maybe like a while back.
Okay, so in the interview, he basically talked about how he like took 8 Percocets a day.
Oh.
Like, that was just his thing. And he said he actually does not even remember why he put out the diss track for Drake. He said, I don't even know why I did it. He said, everybody think it was because of Nicki and all of this stuff. He was like, I really don't even remember why I did it.
Because they did Rico, the same, like, couple months before that, something ain't on Rico. And I'm like, okay, y'all was Ricoing together. Now
he had just so high. He was taking all those drugs and he didn't even know what it was. He said, them 8 Percocets a day, it just messed them up.
That's the drug culture.
And that's when he said after that happened, he decided that, you know what? I'm not going to continue to live my life like this, taking these drugs, because I'll never be the successful person that I want to be.
That's true.
And he said that was after that is when he decided that he wasn't doing it anymore. And he said that he just slowly got off of it and now he's better. Especially with him going to prison and going through that situation, which was crazy in itself.
Yeah.
Who really has the time, again, to continue to beef with somebody over something that you don't even remember why you said?
Right.
And that's most of the time that happens when you're fighting with somebody. In the end, you don't even remember what you really were fighting about.
Right. Or you're about to argue, like, I should have said that, but it's too late.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even matter. But I thought it was really dope that they came together. And then
what I like the most
fun
about...
fun fact that you told me.
Yeah, the fun fact about Drake and Meek reconciliation was through Nipsey. So, basically, Nipsey Hussle, RIP, he basically, you know, set up a phone call with Meek. And he's like, you know what, guys, we're grown. We're trying to make money. We all trying to be entrepreneurs. It's about growing the community. You know, all about philanthropy and all about, you know, making sure that everybody in the rap game, we not doing the Tupac and Biggie stuff. And that's what the phone call was. And that phone call prompted Meek to call Drake. And that's how they reconciled. So when they did the Going Bad video, that's why it says Drake featuring Meek featuring Nipsey Hussle. And that's why he got his own solo kind of shot in there. But then not that long after, that's when he got killed. So it's kind of like, you know what, in a weird way, it's like a, dang, Nipsey, your hand was in the bag this year, man. Like, I can definitely say that. So that was really good. But
and just right into that, we can just go into Nipsey Hussle's untimely passing.
Yeah, like, that was one of the biggest shockers 2019 for me, too.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we were in a meeting when we found out.
Yeah, we were actually preparing for our first show.
Yeah.
We were trying to get everything together for the year, and we were making a calendar, trying to figure it out. And then I was looking at my phone, and I got a text from 97.9 that said Nipsey got shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And then I never actually listened to Nipsey Hussle's music. Mm-hmm. I just knew him as Lauren London's boyfriend. So I'm like, oh my God, Lauren, I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
That's the first person I thought of, like, I knew her.
Yeah.
And I think as we were leaving to leaving out of the meeting, walking out the door, is when they actually said that he died.
Yeah, it wasn't even 30 minutes after. I said, wait, they just said he got shot. I'm just trying, like, when you say he got shot, yeah, I said,
processing it.
Yeah, I'm like, I knew who he was for the music part because I didn't listen to his music in sophomore year of college and everything. But yeah. I knew he did date Lauren, but I didn't think about Lauren at that moment. I was just like, oh, shoot, like, dang, like, what'd he do? Like, this kind of like Snoop protege, and it says he reminded me of Snoop Dogg. Yeah, he did. When he got, you know, and they said he died 30 minutes later on the shade room, I was like, oh. I was like, dang. And then I saw the video. I started seeing the videos. People catching videos of Lauren running to the hospital. I was just like, whoa. Like, that's made me realize how social media can be toxic, too. Yeah. Because at that very moment, I saw the man on the ground before they even announced that he died. I'm like, why do I need to see this right now?
And then that's the thing, too, that, like you said, makes social media really bad. And I want people to understand that, yes, we're mourning for an artist that we lost, mm-hmm. but Lauren and his children and his family are mourning their son, husband, father, brother. They're mourning that. So you have to give people time to heal. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, and I'm 100%, just for me going through death in my family, I know that I need time to myself.
Yeah.
I need peace. I don't really want to get on social media. I don't really want to talk to my friends. I just don't. Yeah. I just, you know how you just need you.
Yeah.
And through social media, I know that that had to be very hard, especially for celebrities, because while they're trying to mourn and grieve, we're doing the same thing. So we're posting every day. We're doing this every day. We're tagging them. We're writing on her page. We're doing, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And in order, she can't even have, I'm sure she turned off her comments and mentions on her Instagram.
Yeah, she did.
Because at this point, she can never grieve fully because she's so worried. She has to worry about how other people are doing. She has to worry about her kids. Mm-hmm. She has to worry about being in the city. It's just, we need to understand that, yes, social media is a great tool to let somebody know how you feel, but it's also a great tool to let people rest.
Yeah, it's a self-destruction in a sense. Because like I said, when he died, like, I just started seeing people tagging
Lauren. It was nonstop.
I'm like, why are y'all tagging her? Like, just say your condolences on a Shade Room's page. Yeah. Don't go to her personal page and be like, Lauren, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't even think, and actually when I found out what happened was when we found out he died, she didn't even know. She just heard he got shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, California, where time zone is different, but the fact that she found out kind of through social media is like...
That's the thing. Whoa. Like, who wants to see that? And it even takes me back to, if we talk about things that happened through the decade, Devin Holmes, and his situation, and thank the Lord that they finally got peace and an answer from it.
Yeah.
But that Devin situation was very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
My cousin is her first cousin. Mm. So it was hard to kind of just be there. But the video, that was the main thing.
I saw that.
So for those of you who don't know, Devin Holmes is from Galveston, Texas. And on, I believe, Easter. Or was that Easter?
It was a major holiday.
It was a major holiday. He and some friends were sitting in a car, and unfortunately, they were playing with guns, and he was shot in the head. He made it. He's here.
Thank God.
Learning to walk and talk again. And unfortunately, the young lady who had never really had any past with the prison system now has to go into the prison system, and she has to do 15 years.
Oof.
10 years for the actual what she did of shooting him in the head, and then an additional 5 years for trying to clean off the gun, take her fingerprints off. So my main thing for saying all of that, I said all of that to say, is when Devin was shot in the head, the video surfaced, and it was shared and shared and shared and shared and shared all through Facebook and Instagram and social media. And I just felt like his family didn't even have time to be with him because they were so busy on social media. Please stop sharing. Please stop doing that. Yeah. And we just have to remember that the family still has to deal with this. Mm. And that's just one thing that we, 2020 and from now on, just y'all remember not to, just be understanding of the family, have a little empathy and be sympathetic to that situation. Because if it were you, you would not want that video or that picture or anything to keep going around and around.
Yeah. That's like an invasion of privacy. And speaking of invasion of privacy, Cardi.
Girl, Cardi, I already knew, sis.
And Nicki. That beef.
That was
actually shocking to me. I'm not gonna lie, that was a shocking beef to me. Simply because, like, before Cardi blew up on Love and Hip Hop, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait for her to, like, you know, really shine. So when she got on Love and Hip Hop, I'm like, okay, now what if her and Nicki just randomly just collab? Because, like, I'm not gonna lie, Cardi was like, I would love to, like, work with Nicki.
Yeah.
Because even she was telling DJ Self, like, if I can get with Nicki Minaj, that'd be live. So when she actually blew up and became, like, a rising star within that quick time frame, and then Nicki, instead of getting congratulated and saying, hey, Cardi, let's, you know, link up, you're beefing with her out of nowhere.
So,
I feel like it was out of nowhere. It was kind of like...
With that, I don't understand exactly where the beef began.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know one of the things that kind of started it was the motorsport.
Okay.
Actually, I do know what happened because Nicki talked about it. Okay, so they did motorsport.
Mm-hmm.
And allegedly, Joe Budden is the one that actually started it. That's why they had that whole falling out in the fight and the beef. And remember, I don't know if you don't. Okay, so this year, she went on his show, and then he went on her show, and they had words with each other.
Oh.
So what happened was they did motorsport, Nicki and Cardi.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, Nicki redid her verse after she heard Cardi's.
Hmm.
Joe Budden said that, and Nicki was upset about it. She was like, well, that's not true. Why would you go and tell people that? Da, 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 da.
That's what I thought happened.
So, because that's what he said.
Yeah.
And most of the time, if you listen, you're going to listen to Joe Budden because you don't really think he lies because he's so...
He's just so, like, I don't know. You just believe it.
Yeah. He's just a guy that just talks like he knows what he's talking about.
Right,
he
wouldn't that's what
it
is. Listen.
So you wouldn't really, unless you just really think about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, They went back and forth about that, and then some kind of way it came out that Nicki was supposed to be a diva, which we've heard over the years, especially when her and, we just talked about Mariah Carey, when her and Mariah Carey had that beef on American Idol.
I forgot about that. Yes.
That was actually Mariah Carey, though, with Nicki.
Yeah.
But they said that she was a diva, and she was upset with Cardi and Offset and Quavo because she felt like, okay, you guys... y'all know that that's not what happened. Y'all know that I'm not this person. Can y'all stick up for me and say that? And they wouldn't say anything. They just kept quiet.
Mm.
So that's from what I've got from my understanding of where the beef came from.
Okay.
Now, if it were me, I'm gonna tell you, I probably would be a little upset too.
Yeah.
Because if we're in a situation, we've done this song together, we don't really know each other, but we still had this situation, and you know how I am just from that day.
Yeah.
If they were talking about that day. If I've sat there and you saw me not be a diva, tell people, because people are just only going to believe what social media tells them, because we don't know Nicki.
Yeah.
We know her now because she's starting to do lives and she's starting to do things. Like we said before, with artists, we never really got to know who they were. We only knew what paparazzi or TMZ or things like that told us, the rumors. Nicki really... All the stuff that they said that she ended up doing, which led them to the huge fight at the...
Harper's Bazaar
in
New York.
So what happened was, on Queen Radio, it was alleged that she called CPS on Cardi B and because of her daughter, said she wasn't a good mom and all these different things. And Nicki was like, well, I never did that. That's not true. I don't have time to sit and try to
do that with
you.
Live?
Like, why would I do?
Does she know Cardi lives?
She doesn't know any of that. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense. So while Nicki was, Cardi got upset about that. They went to the show. She took a shoe off, and that's when they had the fight.
Oh, okay.
So after that, Cardi ended up, what did she do? That's when they found out that Cardi came and was talking about people for not being able to have children. And, like, because Nicki was like, y'all about to play with me? I'm about to tell some facts and truth on you.
True.
Like, a lady actually sent a screenshot where Cardi had basically told her, she was like, you filthy, you nasty. That's why you can't have children. And, like, she was going deep. So they were just saying things that Nicki did, but they found true facts and pictures and things and screenshots of what Cardi actually did. So, I don't know. More about Cardi. Remember the whole situation with her saying that she would drug men?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was a big thing this year.
That was a huge thing because it was... the men's Me Too.
Yeah, because it's like, well, that's not right. If it was a man that did this to a woman, y'all telling me he goes to jail. And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, we would say the same thing. And I think, yeah, we should have said something what Cardi said.
We, I was just like, we should have. That right there, I'm really surprised that it didn't go any further. And I don't like that it didn't. Unfortunately, I mean, it's hard because she's a mom. She's a woman. But she's a woman that made those decisions and she did what she did.
Yep.
Just as if we're making men be held accountable for what they're doing, we need to do the same part on us.
That's true.
A lot of times we, as women, we say that we want equality. And that goes with it. She said that she drugged men and took their money.
Now, Bill Cosby would have said that, Bill, you going under the jail even quicker.
He's already there.
Right? So it's like, you going to be there for life, you know, type thing. And even then, like, that was a big thing this year, too. The Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, however you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't care. He's still a predator. But if you guys didn't catch on, you know, Bill, I was about to say Bill Clinton. Bill Cosby basically went to jail. I don't know how long, I don't know how many years, but over the incidents from, like, 1970s till about, I want to say 2010 possibly with the lady. And so he went to prison, and that's understood. Harvey Weinstein, on the other hand, the same thing in Hollywood, but guess what? Got to pay his victims $25 million, and that's it. He still got a job. The Cosby Show legacy is kind of ruined. So it's just like, like, I don't understand about the difference in the situations.
Because,
like,
he's a black man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without
the obvious, yeah.
Because he's a black man. That's exactly what it is.
Powerful black man at that.
Yeah. They saw that he was getting to be too much of a household name. He was doing too much. He was getting too much credit. He had just gotten something at a university. His name on a building or something at a university right before that happened. So, I hate to be one of those conspiracy theorists, but I do believe that when they feel like black people are getting too much power, they're going to find something to shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
I truly believe that. I'm not saying that he did not do anything to those women, because I wasn't there.
Right.
I don't know. I hate the situation because it was years ago. People are allowed to change.
Yeah.
It was the 70s, and everybody was doing drugs. Everybody was doing crazy sex things.
Yeah.
That was a weird year. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that particular one. But one I do know how I feel about is R. Kelly.
Oh, yes. Y'all. Robert Sylvester Kelly. Had to see the whole government name. The fact that this man been doing stuff since the 90s. And they're just now deciding, you know what, we're going to prosecute you for everything you did, starting with Aaliyah. And that's all it took. Now, honestly, I have a theory, too. I feel like, you know, although she died at a young age, she in case, you know, we have any young listeners out there, Aaliyah was an R&B singer that passed away in 2001. You know.
You better know. If you listen to this podcast and you don't know who Aaliyah is, you need to turn it off.
You're too young. You are too young. Like, what? But basically, they found the marriage certificate of her being married to him in 1994. And I guess the most crazy part about that is I feel like because she died at a young age, her family kind of kept it quiet. Like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about. They acted kind of, you know. But people have, you know, if you watched the recent R. Kelly documentary on Netflix, which is called Surviving R. Kelly, you will find out that basically it was a fake marriage. It got it annulled. And everyone that's involved in that situation is going to prison. They're taking down the tour bus manager. I guess his, who else? His, what they call that man? Something like he's part of the entourage.
I'm trying to think. Like, seriously, let's dig deep into this.
Okay.
R. Kelly and Aaliyah. When we were younger, as kids, everybody had that older guy. Whether it was a senior, you didn't.
I never talked to older guys. I was scared to, so I was just like, I never experienced that part of, like, being a girl, like, talking to older guys.
Well, girl, like, you look like you're 12 now.
Right? So that's probably... Like, I didn't experience that at all. I was like, nah, I'm going to be over here.
Well, I didn't necessarily have older guys, but they were, like, say I was a freshman, they were, like, seniors or, like, juniors or seniors or whatever. My only great thing about them, because there was no sexual activity being done at all.
Right.
That was number one. That was not happening. That was one thing that I knew that I was not going to give my virginity to any old crazy guy or anything like that. So that's number one. But number two, I always knew that, oh, when I'm hungry for lunch and I want to eat the cafeteria food, he can bring me McDonald's. I can get my nuggets or I can get my tacos from Jack in the Box. So, you know, that's what I always thought, like, as an older guy. I never took into consideration. And then I also dated a guy that was in college one time when I was in high school, like 10th or 11th grade. Mm-hmm. But I never took into consideration the mindset difference that there really is.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I truly understood mindsets until I turned 25. Mm-hmm. When I was 21, I was like, you 25, that don't mean nothing, da 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 da. There's really a big difference between 25 and 21 and 18 and 19. Like, there's a huge difference because your mind isn't even on the same things. Like, at 21, you just want to have fun. Right. You're just partying. You're going to school. You're just whatever.
Yeah.
25, okay, baby, that's enough partying. I need to figure out my next steps in life. Yeah, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
Who are what people? Like, I know in my mind there's no way that I could talk to anyone or date anyone younger than 25.
Yeah.
Because of where I am in my mind right now. That's why I go back to R. Kelly. Being an adult male with these younger girls, you know that they don't really
understand,
process or understand things the same way that you do. Now, the only thing that I can and that I do give R. Kelly sometimes. I'm not an R. Kelly fan. I'm not on his team. I don't approve of anything that he did.
Just like, I'm a man of I'm a fan of the music. Yeah. Not Robert.
but R. Kelly had a really hard childhood.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? His older sister raped him. Uh-uh.
It was their older cousin. No.
It was a sister.
Sister. Yeah.
It was older sister. The older sister raped him. Him and the other brothers. The mom, I believe she died early. He didn't go to school because he had to stay home and help his other brother, his other siblings. So he only had a second or third grade education. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to read, didn't know how to do math. Like, R. Kelly,
I didn't know he didn't know how to read.
R. Kelly really isn't a full grown person.
Yeah, he's still immature in a sense.
If you think about it, his mindset when he was messing with those girls was probably the same age and maturity as them.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get to go through childhood.
Yeah.
A lot of times when people don't get to experience things at the age that they're supposed to experience things, they're always going to be behind and they're always going to try to find a way to get that experience.
Yeah.
We can go back to Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That developmental state, that's what helps you develop when you go through certain things in life.
Mm-hmm.
We look at them as mistakes, but they're really just things to teach us, to help us grow and help us move on.
Yeah.
Bad, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
If you think about Michael Jackson didn't get to get a childhood.
At all.
Like. At all. So that's why he built that
Neverland Ranch
in his home, and he let children come and he would play and he would do things. I don't know if Michael Jackson did anything to those kids.
Yeah, I can't even speak on
it. I don't know that by no means, but I always just think of where people came from. And I guess that's why I love sociology so much. Because I want to know your background.
Yeah.
I want to know how you came up, because that truly determines how you are as a person.
Yes. Yes.
It truly, your living situations.
Yeah.
How you love, what your parents taught you. Mm-hmm. And the older we get, we learn the things that our parents taught us, the things that we like and what we dislike and what we're going to use to move forward.
Yep.
But a lot of times people don't have the good parent to be there to tell them the right from the wrong, the morals and the values. And they don't have that.
And I think that's what made their situation kind of like difficult. R. Kelly and Michael Jackson is difficult, but it's like how we look at your celebrities. So by them being celebrities, kind of like we're looking at you should know better by now. But it's like,
and then
no,
that's the
like,
thing.
They people, go through the same thing we go through.
And I said that, and I've said that so many times. People always look at celebrities and put them on a pedestal.
Like, no.
But these are still regular people that just have talent.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They still go through the same things we go through. They lose their parents. They lose their loved ones.
They lose money.
They lose talent. Yeah. They go through situations just like we go through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we still have to remember that these people are people. They're just
famous. That's it.
That's really it. I mean, they're choosing to be in this position because they like to do what they do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change who they are, how they grew up, in just them as a whole. So we always have to remember that.
That's one thing I can say about Cardi, though, that this year she kind of taught me that, like, she even said, like, people try to change, they want me to change for Hollywood, like they try to do Nicki, and she's like, no, like, I'm not going to be who y'all want me to be, because this is who I am. Social media is what made me who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like, if you look, really think about it, like, social media, like, what I like about her is that she stood her ground, she didn't change up, she didn't, like, try to pretend to be somebody she was. And I think, well, like, the idea we have with Michael Jackson or R. Kelly is, like, Michael Jackson is this God, not God, but, like, he's the king.
That's
of pop.
How people look at him.
You know,
they look at, like, him like a god. Well, they do. They look at him like a god. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
But they look at him like a god. Like, he is higher than most, and he should know and do and all of that.
It's like, no.
And the more that I think 2020, not even 2020, the more that the social media is expanding and our mindsets are changing, mm-hmm. we're really seeing that these people are just like us.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why, and I don't know if it's because we deal with media a little bit more because we're in it.
Yeah.
But it makes, when I see these people, I don't even get starstruck anymore.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, oh, hey, this.
I'm getting to learn you now. I'm learning about you now.
Like when we see the people like Ari. That's a star now. She's just a regular girl.
Right.
Her baby daddy is a rapper.
Like, she's all the regular, other ones.
That's it. She's just a regular girl. I mean, I'm not.
I still don't see the I still
star
see
quality
the,
and why it's such a big thing and why she's such an influencer. Hey, I ain't gonna knock it because you're
somebody
doing it.
Somebody like you.
But it's like, these are just regular people like us.
Yeah.
That are, like, literally one day, if our podcast were to really pop.
Mm-hmm.
We would be considered a celebrity, and anything that we've ever done in the past or said or thought would be looked at
on a higher scale
and depicted, and they're trying to figure it out, and why did you say this, and why did you do this back in 07? I don't know. That's not even my mindset anymore.
Right.
I haven't thought about that. And thinking of old tweets and things like that, it takes me to Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Kevin was supposed to host the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
and they while he was supposed to host the Oscars, they announced it and everything, the LGBTQ community cut it off. They were upset about old jokes and old tweets that he made back in the day. So I don't know if you guys remember one of his first tours, mm-hmm. is when he talked about his son. He said one day he walked in and his son was playing with his daughter's Barbie dream house, and he was like, boy, don't do that, I'm gonna knock that thing on your head, because you're not finna be gay.
Oh.
And then that was a thing.
Yeah.
Back then, social media and everybody wasn't as sensitive as
they are. Oh yeah, because Bernie Mac made jokes about stuff like that. Like,
So my question is now to you, do you feel that through social media that we're too sensitive?
Oh yeah, because I always say, like, literally, okay, this is 2020. Let's go back to 2019 and we go back from there. Okay, so about 2019, I want to say 10, 15, when did Bernie Mac pass away? 08. So I'll say between 08 on back to like the 90s. You could tweet, not tweet, but you could talk about the gay people, black people.
You can say anything.
You can say anything. People are like, whatever. I don't take you serious. I don't, your intent isn't malicious.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if I say, oh my gosh, that is so gay, people ready to shoot me down, I'm homophobic. It's like, no, that was actually a term back in the day too. Like, people said, that's so gay, that's so, but at that time, gay meant happy. That's how I interpret it. I didn't assume gay being with homosexuality, you know?
So the only, like, I guess I can understand it. Because I'm trying to think from their side, too.
Yeah.
Like, if I take my nerve disease into consideration, I'll use that. Okay, so if I heard somebody make a joke and say, man, she over there acting like she hurting, or she over there faking, because that's what I would consider to be the term, the same as gay.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me mad. And if I saw somebody tweeted a long time ago, and then it came back up. I don't know. I don't think I'm not that sensitive.
Yeah.
I'm really not that sensitive.
People
can change their life.
Yeah.
People can change their thought process. If it's 2020 and it was a tweet from 2007, Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm not saying that what you said wasn't wrong or it wasn't disrespectful to a community.
Yeah.
By no means. But he's not the same person that he was in 07. That was 17 years ago.
True. But then...
I mean, 13 years ago.
But then, you know, the girl Camila Cambello, whatever her name is, mm-hmm. Camila Cambello, she's like some, like a group from, she was a part of Fifth Harmony with Normani.
Okay.
So basically she got called, quote unquote, not canceled, but like, you know, people just like, wait a minute, because a couple of tweets came back from like 2005, 6, 12 in that time frame. And she had said the N word. She said black people are this and that. Okay.
Now I'm saying it goes to certain extent.
Yeah.
Now certain things. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
She got to get canceled for that.
Certain things that you say, it depends on what you said
and how you
said and the intent.
Mm-hmm.
That's delivery.
Yeah.
Like we said in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's all about delivery. What you were saying, how you were saying it. When Kevin Hart made those jokes, you can clearly tell that was a joke.
Yeah.
Now the parts that I do understand is, there are a lot of children, especially within the last couple of years, that have committed suicide because of jokes and being bullied, mm-hmm. and things like that about just being people being homophobic. But I don't know. I still to this day, when I was in school, I really don't remember this many people being so sensitive.
We weren't.
And committing suicide and doing these things. I just don't remember it being so heavy. And I know social media.
Yeah, it's really social media because, like, at that time when we were growing up, we didn't know
what, we just talked about
the internet like that.
Well, no, I'm not going to lie. Okay, when I was in school, we were in school together, but
yeah.
Okay, so I remember that there was this girl who had taken nude pictures and they made a whole Facebook page dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was a big thing.
True.
That was a really big thing. And they not only did it one time, they did it a couple of times.
Aww.
I remember also, but it with different people. There were videos of people doing certain things that they weren't supposed to during school hours. There were videos and pictures of certain parents, nude pictures. I mean, like, it was some stuff, like big, big stuff. And people still didn't commit suicide. So I'm really want to understand and figure out what we can do from now until forever, at least until we're here, to change the vibe or the emotion that comes from Instagram. I don't take things to heart, and sometimes I expect other people to be the same, but everybody's not the same.
Yeah.
So I wonder what is it that I can do or we can do or can figure out to change that social media thing. I know that they talked about before on social media about taking off the likes
comments. That could probably help.
I know that that was a big thing and people were debating about it and upset.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why does it really matter? Post the pictures and go on about your business.
True.
Do you feel like the likes matter?
Not really. And then the piggyback back off the, you know, I'm going to go to that topic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, piggyback when you say about the video thing, the new girl. Do y'all remember that girl Amber Cole? The video when the little girl, like, this in 2011, was in high school, when she was outside performing oral sex on the little boy, that like, outside of a school, like, a long time ago. And B came in a song called Sketches, and he's like, Amber Cole, that was in 2011.
Oh, this decade. Gosh, I forgot about that.
I thought that happened in 07, I was like, 2011. So seeing that.
They made songs, they did all types of stuff. Like,
she didn't kill herself. She didn't kill herself.
So I wonder what it is now that are making the children so sensitive. That's what I want to figure out. And what can we do to change that? Because there has to be something that's changing. Because even with social media, like the comments and stuff, I mean, just turn your comments off.
You would think it'd be that simple. Because even when somebody gets bullied online, I'm like, so you didn't think about logging off and just going about your day? That's what I think. But at the same time, I got to think that when we were growing up, our parents kind of made us tough in a sense. Like, don't be so sensitive. You know, don't say certain things if you don't mean it.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays, parents, on top of that, they're around our age and younger anyway, a lot of them are already sensitive because they didn't grow up in an era where, like, social media wasn't everywhere. Like, everywhere you go, somebody's recording a fight, a car accident, or, you know, just something stupid. When at one time, we had a heart, like, I'm not going to record this girl in a car accident. Like, what am I going to do that for? What am I going to record somebody fighting for? We just do what you got to do and go about your day.
Yeah.
I just think it's just everybody's so clout chasing in a sense.
Yeah.
I feel like clout chasing plays a big part.
It does. Like, it does.
How people feel about themselves.
I totally agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Clout chasing is a big thing, because had that not, had the whole social media catching videos and things been so prevalent right now, then people probably wouldn't have so much emotional ties to things.
Right.
And I don't know. I just really wish, I don't know, I just can't keep going back to that. I really wish that there was something that we could do to figure out how to change that. Because, but I guess it goes to the parents. A lot of times the parents, y'all, I'm back to the sociology mess. Y'all know I love it.
I think.
But if the parents didn't, if your parent doesn't have the tools to give you to know what to do, the morals, the values, the understanding, the confidence, the just self-love portion, if your parents didn't have that instilled in them, then they're not giving it to you. So true. I'm guessing it starts with us when we have our children. I guess that's the only thing that we can do, because we can't go back to these kids, but we can move forward with our own.
Yeah.
With our own kids, we just have to instill with them confidence, self-love, just being strong.
And then in a weird way, because it's a sociology thing and like a psychology thing too. You got to expose people to certain things so that way they'd be immune to it in a weird way.
But you see, I used to think that when you expose people to certain things, but if 90% of the time I'm not being exposed to something, and then the 10% that I am, I'm going to always go back to my 90, because the 10% of the exposure that I'm getting, yes, I get it and I understand it and I take it. But if all I'm seeing is bad, 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 and the good part that you give me is only a little.
True.
Because I've seen so, and it's only because I've seen so many people with that.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought what you said. I always thought if you just give them that little bit of something that they can see it, that it'll change them.
True.
And some people, it will.
So it really goes at the way you were raised in. Really.
Yeah.
Because it's like, people can be sheltered. Like, some friends of mine were sheltered, and their trajectory, what they did with their life, kind of showed that they were sheltered. Whereas I was kind of exposed to a lot more, so I knew when I got out there to avoid this and this and this and this. So that's why I'm kind of like 50-50 on, like, maybe exposing them a little bit, but at the same time, it's still like, yeah, you might see that, but that's not right either.
So for me, I really didn't realize until Jay Long was on The Breakfast Club with Centoya Brown.
Okay.
He talked to her, he was talking to Charlamagne and everybody, and Centoya was saying that, Jamie said that he came from, a rough neighborhood. It was basically the ghetto, the hood, and it was killings and all this different stuff. And I was just like, man, what is she talking about? LaMarcus not that deep.
Right.
What are you talking about? But then after I thought about it, I guess it really is. We're the top, we have the top murders. Huh. Lamarck is like the top murder city.
More than Houston?
Yes. Because we have such a small city.
But it ain't that many people down here.
Exactly. We have such a small city, and the amount of people that die in our city.
It makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Population. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So that's number one.
Yeah.
I guess the way that my mama raised me, I never knew that I was in the ghetto, I guess, per se.
True.
My mama, I didn't go back and forth to like different schools, like to Galveston and Dickinson and do all of that. I stayed in Lamarck. I did have my friends like in Texas City because that was the closeness, but I didn't really do any extra.
Yeah.
I hung with my friends in Lamarck. I mean, you know, like my mom made sure that I had extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
I was always doing something. It was just always something. But I guess the main thing is when you have a present parent.
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody present and being there, it helps a lot with your growth and who you are as a person.
That's true. That's true. Because you could have a parent in the house, but they're not actively in your life. It's kind of like you're by yourself in a weird sense.
Yeah, and you have to learn things on your own.
Yeah.
And a lot of things, I don't know, a lot of things, you do need a parent. You do need that guidance. Like, I know I mentor two girls that I met when I was working at Texas City.
Okay.
And I try my hardest to make sure, and I would, when I was younger, I would get upset because I was like, man, my mama thinks she knows, da, 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 da. But as I'm older, I know situations that I've gone through, mm-hmm. and it's some things that I don't want to see them have to suffer
yeah.
and go through the same mistakes. I try my hardest to talk to them all the time, and I say, look, y'all, this is what I've gone through. This is how I know it came out. I'm not saying that your situation is going to be the same, but keep this in mind.
Yeah. That's true. That's
when
true.
You have those people in your life saying that to you, it changes things. It kind of make, you know, it yeah. just changes your thought process. It changes who you are. It just, I don't know. You need positive people in your life. You need positive things. You need positive situations. And if, yeah. when you don't have that, and everything's not going to be positive. I know that. Everything's not always going to be good. But if you have, if you can at least see the light in the negativity, mm-hmm. that's what always makes something better.
That's, I like that. I like that. That's just like Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
That, he tried to make a light situation. I'm like, no, you didn't already ruin your career almost.
Okay, so with the Jussie Smollett situation, do you think he was lying?
That's the thing. I don't know. Because I'm like, the way they handled the situation is kind of like the situation went by so quick. I was like, so did they do it or did they not do it?
Yeah, they didn't really explain.
Were they hired?
Jussie is still like, he is saying it like, this is not a lie. Like I'm telling you the truth. I have been hurt and yeah. beat up by these Trump supporters. And then that was a big thing because that's what made the situation so big. If you don't know what happened,
yeah,
let's just get back to it. Okay. So, when was that?
This was about 6 months ago. I want to say before Nipsey died. So no, it was after April, May-ish. Cause he died in March. That's how I keep up with stuff. I'm sorry, y'all. But I want to say about March, April.
So, you know, basically, around that time, he was walking. He had just left somewhere, going through the subway, and he was beat up by two, what do they have on?
Masked
men. Mm-hmm. And they beat him. They beat him senseless, and they called him...
The N-word. Queer,
all type of stuff, basically talking about him because he was gay and he was black. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. So Jussie Smollett ended up going to the hospital. It was all over the news, everything. People were supporting him, and then some weird way it turned from Jussie Smollett support to Jussie Smollett hate, because they said that he was lying. He which I'm not gonna lie, it did kind of look that way.
Yeah.
He was following the two guys who allegedly were the ones who were the two masked men. Mm-hmm. They worked together on
Empire.
They were extras. I don't know, something about it made it seem bad. But I just don't want to believe Jussie Smollett would go through all of that.
I would hope not. Because, like, I'm not going to lie. He's the breakout star of Empire outside of Taraji and Terrence. I'm just like, if you lied, you just screwed up your entire career.
He was the breakout
career.
Star. Like, seriously.
Like, yeah. And you're from a well-known family that's already established,
yes.
too. Your
sister. No, that's the thing. Like, I, and it's crazy because I would really like to hear
Journey
have something to say. I really want to know how she feels about the situation. The fact that she hasn't said anything kind of twists me a little bit to make me think that he might have lied about the situation. I'm not going to lie.
True.
Because had it been real, I just feel like she or somebody else in their family would have made a comment.
But then it's like some people, because it's just like the Jacksons, like when Michael's going through all that, we would think Janet would have been like, my brother didn't do all this.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Till after he died, though, is when she defended him like, he's not here, so I'm going to be the sister to defend him.
Yeah.
So I guess in a sense, it's kind of like letting your siblings
fight their battles. Let you fight your own battle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on top of that, she's still in the show business, too, so she can't tarnish her name in the process of her brother.
That's very true. That's very true. I can take that.
Yeah.
I can take that.
It's like a chess move, I would definitely say.
You got to be strategic about how you do certain things, so I can understand that.
Yeah, just like, you know, Trump was strategic in winning the presidency. Y'all, that's the biggest shock to me in the past 10 years that he became president.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
I remember I was in my last semester in college. We were about to graduate because, of course, it was in November.
Yeah.
I was sitting there. I had been in class all day, and I've been looking at my phone, looking at the news, because I wanted to see. Like, I mean, I really don't even think anybody paid attention in class that day, because mm-hmm. we were literally looking at that all day. One of my classes, the teacher was just like, F class. We're not doing class. We can either y'all can sit in here and watch this with me, or y'all can go home and watch it yourself, because I know that's what y'all looking
at. Oh yeah, that was one of my assignments. They said, yeah, we're gonna go home tonight. We're gonna see what's gonna happen around midnight. I'm like, okay, Hillary got this. I went to bed thinking, okay, Hillary's gonna win.
Me too.
I woke up in a Trump world. I said, who won?
I couldn't even sleep that night. I kept, because I really wanted to know, because I could not take Trump as a president. I was like, oh, Hillary got this. She got it until she didn't.
And you know what's weird? I think because I've assimilated Donald Trump in hip hop so much, because he was in a Fresh Prince episode a long time ago. He was in Home Alone. Yeah. He's in a lot of like entertainment. I liked him for a businessman. Not to run the country, though. like, what?
I just feel like he has done so many horrible things.
Like,
what did he say? The pussy grabber.
Yeah.
Grabbing
the pussy.
He said that he would have sex with. I mean, y'all know what it is.
Hey.
What is it? He said that he wanted to have sex with his stepdaughter. He said that if she wasn't his stepdaughter, that he would be with her.
I thought Ivanka was his daughter. Ivanka? Yeah, that's his blood daughter. He said, she wasn't my daughter, I would be interested in...
Oh, that's his blood daughter?
Blood.
Oh,
that's wow. Makes it even worse. It's
wow.
Like...
Wow.
Your daughter.
Wow.
I think she's like one of two, because there's Tiffany and Ivanka.
Wow. I did not know that was his daughter. I thought that was his stepdaughter.
Mm-mm. He don't have no step. It's just all... Those are all his blood. I'm still shocked
that's
that somebody...
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm like, your
Why
dad...
Why would your father look at you that way?
And she was like, huh. I saw the clip. She's like, huh. And the host was just kind of like...
That's disgusting.
Like,
that's disgusting.
If I ever found out my father, I'll be like, Mama.
You know? No, that's too much. Mama. Like, I don't understand. I feel like it took a very long time for them to get to this point where they are impeaching
too long,
him.
Though.
Because at this point, too impeachment, is his time is over now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. Now, I guess this would keep him from running for another 4 years. But
yeah.
I don't believe that anybody else will let him back into the office.
As much trouble
that he has got into, and how he has said all these things about Obama. Went from being friendly with him to blasting all these lies.
Yeah.
Not only that, when the movie When They See Us came out.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, When They See Us, Ava DuVernay, you did your thing, woman. I love it. Because she basically documented over Central Park 5. Growing up, I knew about the story, but I didn't know the in-depth. I didn't know that they didn't know the women at all. They didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
I thought they were all five friends who walked in his park, saw him and beat her up and raped her. That's how I was interpreting growing up, because that's how I was educated on it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that these were just five random kids that were put together in one room and just said, hey, you're Corey. They said you did this. Hey, you said they told me that you did this. So I said that you did that, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump had a part in that as well. I'm like, you made an ad in New York Times in 1988, I believe it happened. And you said you'll pay, you know, no, like maybe about... 80,000. It was a lot of money. It was a high stakes ad, and he basically put it out saying that I want them convicted, like for their conviction. And I'm just like, that was a catastrophe in itself. It's kind of like a domino effect. Like all the bad things he's done is coming to light now. And I'm like, this impeachment took forever, because when Clinton was in office, I heard it didn't take that long to impeach him.
Yeah.
And all he did was mess with somebody else outside his wife.
And you know what? Everybody cheats.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't saying it's right, but
I would rather
see him cheat than grab vaginas.
And then have Russia involved.
And you know.
Why is Russia involved in our politics over here?
It's just too much. Like, and then he did that horrible stuff with Britain.
Oh, yeah.
The United, in the UK, and they did, I can't think of what it's called right now, I can't think of what it's called right now, but he basically did the black market through Facebook and was giving money.
Oh,
yeah.
I know, Chum, I can't think of the word either.
I can't think of what it's called right now.
Not piracy. No, that's this on. What is it called?
Brecken?
We'll figure out the word, y'all.
Yeah, we're going to add it, y'all, later. We're not crazy. We just can't think of the word right now. But anyway, moving on from Trump, let's get into... Forgot what I was gonna say, y'all.
We've been talking about a lot
this episode, and I mean, we could go on and on and on. The episode is getting to like an hour and 15 minutes, so I feel like we've wrapped up a lot of 2009 to 2020. I think we got it.
Shout out to Obama for winning both times in my college years. He was president my freshman year of high school and freshman year of college. I was like,
Yeah. And then we were actually able to vote in college. So it was super, super cool that we were able to do that.
It was a blessing.
What was I? 18 years old. I remember I went, I did it in Huntsville. I was so excited. I got my little sticker. And my mama kept asking me, she's like, when are you going to go vote? When are you going to go vote? And I was like, mama, I'm going to go vote. I don't have a car, girl, but I'm going to go vote. So I finally did it. I took a picture and I sent it to her. And she was like, oh, you really did it. Man. So that was an amazing experience for me. What else happened through...
I want to say, by my aunt being 90-something, she got to see that twice. I was like, that is so live. But I would definitely say that was a big accomplishment of the teens.
You know what? That was exciting, too. My grandmother and my Nana got to see that. That was something that nobody expected. Like, all of our grandparents, I think that was a major milestone for them because they never expected to see a Black president. So that in itself was just
That means monumental. A lot to me that now was, that I look at it like that.
Yeah, like you think about that. Our grandparents and great-grandparents, I would have never thought that we would ever have a Black man in the office.
Like, a Black family in the office. A Black family. Like,
an unproblematic Black family.
He didn't cheat, no side children,
the children
nothing.
Weren't crazy. They weren't all in the news.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... They were just a good family.
And everybody wants him back. I said, no, when they were in the office, y'all gave them hell. I read Michelle's book, Becoming. It was amazing, guys. Check it out. If you haven't read it, it's amazing. Okay. And she said, I will never run for president. Because people keep asking her, like, can you run for 2020? She's like, no.
Yeah.
Because I remember everything he did to Barack. Like, she said, they wore Barack down. He didn't show y'all, but... Her book, she read.
I mean, you could see from him looking young to him getting gray.
But his daddy, he a gray daddy.
Oh, he look cute now.
Sir Barack.
He came up and came out.
He had. Did you see him in that one outfit, that one suit, that khaki Easter suit? I said, Barack.
Girl, I saw him when he was Beard Bay.
Ooh.
He was cute.
Ooh.
We can talk about that.
Beery.
What else happened?
Let me see.
For me, shoot, y'all know I had my accident in 2016. And that was major for me. That was something where I think it was like a real like a big shift in my life to make me really understand what life is and that it's real and this can happen. That car accident, like seriously, because I really could have died in that accident, and God just saw fit that wasn't for me. So I know that I want to continue to make God see that. The reason why he kept me here.
Definitely.
So 2020 and from now on, I am seriously going to do everything that I can to prove to God that I'm meant to be here and that I'm meant to make a difference. And that's what I want to do. I know that it was a reason for me to be here, and I know it was a reason for me to develop this nerve disease, because I'm supposed to be something for somebody. I'm supposed to be a light. I'm supposed to show something. I'm supposed to do something, because this is called the suicide disease, and I don't want that.
Yeah, that thought to everyone. Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
And I see so many people, because I follow so many forums that with people with the same nerve disease, and there are too many people that commit suicide because of this.
Yeah.
God put me here for something, so I'm going to just make sure. And I guess that was just a really major point in my life throughout this year. Another thing that for me, when my Nana passed, in 2018, which it was really hard, because she, myself, and my grandfather shared our birthdays.
Aww.
My birthday was January 26th, so it was my grandfather, and my Nana's birthday was the 27th.
Aww.
So, after my grandfather passed, we always all shared our birthdays together. Mm-hmm. Like, we would do, like, a family dinner, but after my grandfather passed, me and my Nana, that was our tradition. Mm-hmm. Every year, we made sure that we did something together. Even if we couldn't, when I was in college, she would call and Aww. We would talk to each other. So that was a really difficult moment for me in 2018. But it also showed me to love my family more.
Yeah.
It showed me to, even through bad situations, to just keep going and keep growing and just love. Because nobody's perfect. Everybody's learning. I really feel like this year has taught me so much about understanding and growth with people, and understanding that as a kid we have like this this like red covering over our eyes, mm-hmm. like of just great things. We only see the good in things and we don't really see the bad. And when we see the bad as adults, we just like, oh my God, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
But this year made me realize, well, dang, that's kind of been happening all this time, but I just need to learn how to move forward and move on and just grow from it. So preferably this next year, it will be a great one.
Yeah.
I will be able to find the passion of the love and the joy and the job that I want.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a job. I want it to be a career. I want it to be something that I can be proud of and move in many heights.
Yeah.
And leave a legacy for my children.
Yeah.
That's the goal for the rest of my life, is to find a way to leave a legacy, and a great legacy.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think yours
Let's
is?
See. Okay, so in this last 10 years, what's I graduated college.
Oh, that
twice.
Too.
I did 2016, 2018. And it really, like, made me really consider, like, I realized that I really kind of, like, school was my escape from my childhood. And I didn't realize that till, like, now. Like, wow. Like, because, like, you know, when you graduate college, you think you're going to have the job lined up, all these exactly. things lined up. And you're like, I put all this work in and like for nothing. And I realized growing up that I never like really tuned into like what made me special outside of academics or academia, I should yeah. say. And for me, it's like I'm learning that, okay, I'm smart, but there's more to life than just being smart. Like you gotta have a, you know, like basically be a catch 22, you know, be smart, but have the ambition, have the goals, have the plan, have the drive.
Hustle, yeah,
have the opportunity. And like for me, as of now, I'm just realizing that I have to kind of create my opportunity, but at the same time still be searching for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And that's the hardest thing I'm trying to figure out. Like, how do I get from point A to point B if I don't have this one thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I want to spend, like, this year, like, cultivating my talent. Mm-hmm. I want to say believing what I want to do, manifesting my dreams. Mm-hmm. I want to say holding myself accountable, being yeah. accountable, you know, holding accountability for everything that I do and don't do. So if I'm, like, still in the same position a year from now, what did I not do, you know?
Yeah.
I need to, like, take into consideration of that. I want to say me and my family, we're not on the best of terms mm-hmm. at all. And I really hate that. But it's like, I realize that, you know, some people, you can tell them what you want and they can't give it to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create that with my own family in the next 10 years or so.
Exactly.
Because I just can't deal with, like, you know, just the animosity, negativity. Like, I want to manifest good vibes in my life. I need that, you know, positivity all the way around. I want someone to get closer to God, because I backtrack. I go, then I don't go, or I pray, then I don't pray, and I just, like, kind of goof off with it.
Yeah.
And I want to hold myself to the point that I have a standard for myself, you know. Make sure that whatever I set myself to, I hold myself
That's
to
what
it.
That's I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, you know. And then on top of that, if I want to do something, just do it, you know. And on top of that, you know, the love life ain't really all that, but I definitely want to tune into, like, going on dates, dating a little bit more, but at the same time, dating myself, too.
Yeah.
Loving myself, self-love, self-improvement, letting go of bad habits, detoxing.
Yes.
You know, my social media as well as, like, my phone. I deleted a lot of contacts today. I said, you know what? I don't even know who this number is.
Yeah.
Like, the name's there, but I can't put a face to the name, so
it doesn't
gone.
Matter anymore.
Yeah.
At this point, I feel like my contact list needs to only be the people I talk to all the time.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but, yeah. I mean, if I have other people that can come in and be there, you're okay. But
yeah.
I'm really at the point, my favorites are the only people that I talk to.
Yeah.
So, we gotta keep that like that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. I'm just like, I love it, because it's like, I have a homeboy that, like, we're cool, but, like, I only hear from him every once in a while, and I'm just like, once every 6 months. And he's like, well, I'll be busy. And I'm like, I understand you're busy, but you're just never that busy to not pick up the phone at least every other time.
Yeah.
We don't have to speak like every day, but like, it's good to hear from you more than just once or yeah. twice a year. Like,
yeah.
No. So I deleted his number too.
So you know what I would say about that, because that's one of the things that I've really learned too.
Yeah.
That just to be a little bit more understanding about that.
True.
I know for me, like I say, this nerve disease is very, very hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't, like, you know, sometimes we can't record the episode because
yeah.
I've been in pain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people don't understand that when one day I can have a lot of energy and I can do so much stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of that energy that I took that day is gone for the
yeah.
rest of the week. And I don't have anything. And I'm just laying down in the bed because I'm hurting so bad. I don't want to talk on the phone. I don't want to see anybody. I just want to be me.
True.
But I also have family situations. My grandma's sick. You got this. You
yeah.
got that. And it's not that you don't want to talk to your friend,
mm-hmm.
but life really, really happens.
True. But see, I don't know. Because, like, I thought about it like that angle, too.
Yeah.
But then it's just, like, when I see him on social media doing this, and I'm like, you're not that busy that you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing? You know, or send a happy birthday text. I'm communicating with
you. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm communicating with you, but yet you're not doing the same for me. So why do I need to have your number? So that's why I deleted it. I was like, I think we can be social media people.
You do what's best for you. That's what I say. Let's see. I don't know. For the podcast.
Yeah.
I know the major thing that I want to see is growth.
Definitely.
I want to see growth in our Instagram.
Okay.
I want to see growth in our followers and following. I want you guys to communicate with us as well as us communicating with you. We're telling you guys about everything that we have going on, and we don't just want it to be about us. We want you guys to be a part of everything because you are the people that help us grow.
Yeah.
We want to learn about you. We want to hear what you're going through. If you have a particular conversation that you think we should have, let us know. The next season that we're going to have, season two, is going to be strictly about the pink print. I call it the pink print because, you know, my favorite color is pink. But it's going to be the blueprint series where we basically, all of the questions that we've asked throughout our lives, throughout last season, we're going to get those answers in this season.
Okay.
This season, we're going to make sure that we're answering all the questions of the things that we want to know, because there are so many things. Does your degree really matter in the workforce? We're going to talk about triggers and why they actually happen. We're going to figure these things out. And we're going to have video episodes, you guys.
Yeah.
That's the major thing that I know that I'm super excited about for the podcast, is that you guys will actually get to see us. And we can have fun.
Right.
We can actually see our faces. Y'all can see our facial expressions. I talk with my hands a lot, so you can see that.
I have to have a pen in my hand.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like this year will be something great. And I'm just ready to see what it has for me. I do agree with the wanting to get better with the Lord a lot. I'm working on that. Like I said before, the situation is a little hard, so I'm working on my relationship with God every day, and I just want to pray and ask him to make sure that everyone around us is doing well, every other podcast is doing well.
Right.
Shout out to Ainsley and the Queen Table Talk.
Hey.
There's so many people. Shout out to who else that we've worked with? Brandon Goss.
Yeah.
Shout out to who else have we worked? Shout out to Jalea Jones.
Yes.
We started this process with her, and we're here where we are now, and we thank her for the time that we spent with her, and we're on it.
Definitely.
And we're just ready to move into 2020 with high expectations.
More collabs
and just more realness.
Yeah.
We want to be real. We want to be raw. We want you guys to feel where we're coming from, and we want to feel where you're coming from too. And that's all I can say, because I keep saying the same thing. But I really am excited about this new year and this, I don't know, 2020, just that's the 2020 vision.
Yeah.
It's just giving me good vibes and great hopes. And I feel like my dreams can really be done throughout this year.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make sure that my dreams are done and seen and made into reality.
Yeah, definitely.
Alrighty, y'all.
Oh my god.
We're getting to the end of the episode.
Right.
We are at our euphemism.
And you know I gotta come through with it. So, euphemism.
The last euphemism
of the episode in the, I guess you could say, 2019 season. I definitely want to say accountability. I say accountability because a lot of us tend to like have goals. We don't kind of hold ourselves to it. So from now on, I want to start, you know, making sure that I write down goals and I accomplish them. If it's a weekly thing, daily thing, hourly thing, whatever you got to do, make sure you're holding yourself accountable, as well as taking charge for your life.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your goal is, whatever your dream is, how can you make that happen?
Yeah.
What do you plan on doing? What is your next step? Like, try to make sure you have a game plan and a fallback plan for everything. You
make
know,
those
plan
vision
a.
boards.
Yeah.
Make those plans.
Yes.
Schedule
vision
that
board.
Stuff out. Make a planner. Do daily things to make sure.
Yeah.
If you have to even do what on Being Mary Jane, how she used to write the little notes on her wall.
Write notes to yourself.
Do something to make sure that you're staying on track and that you are holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Accountability.
That's definitely. So I definitely say that is the euphemism of the episode. We've ended season one.
Y'all, with like,
it is the end of season one.
Like,
we just had a whole season. We're doing it. And today is January 1st. It is New Year's Day. And we are happy to have y'all with us.
Seriously.
And hey, we going on. It's your girl L'Oreal.
It's your girl Dree.
And you just listened to the last episode of Lux Lifestyle Season 1. Alrighty, we thank y'all so much. We hope you had a great Christmas, a great New Year, and we hope that you're safe and with loved ones, and we love you.
Keep it locked. We're coming in soon, alright?
Season 2 coming back as soon as possible. Oh, y'all, this is a long episode. Oh, yeah. See y'all next time.
See ya.